The minute you think you have a lockdown bullpen, it all of a sudden starts to fall apart on you. Ask the Baltimore Orioles, who are in the middle right now of having a bullpen that is falling apart right at their fingertips as they're about to make a playoff run. I mean, ask the Yankees, who don't have a closer right now because their closer has started to slip up. Like, bullpens, the minute you think you have them figured out, they crumble. It's unbelievable how this team from day one to 162 has just, or whatever number of game we're on right now, the bullpen has been the constant. Outside of Nick Sandlin hiccups, this bullpen has been nails. Like, you turn to them in whatever inning, and you feel better about the pen than the starter who is just on the hill.
So there's a part of me that wants to look ahead, too. And I don't know, you said you haven't been doing a lot of scoreboard watching, or you just haven't been watching standing stuff. It's awkward compared to the way it used to be, where it was just easy. You know, you're like, oh, that's our magic number. You were never thinking, it feels a lot more like an NBA playoff than it does Major League Baseball playoffs now, knowing that there's a bye in the playoffs. So right now, the Guardians are sitting in a bye spot.
Yeah, top two teams get a bye. So right now, the Yanks and the Guardians would get the bye.
And then, let's see, so the Yanks are sitting at 89 and 64, and the Guardians are sitting at 89 and 65. So that's, what, a half game?
Yep.
Man, I got to tell ya, you, I want the Guardians to get the top seed in the East. So keep on playing hard. You got Kansas City, then you got Cincinnati, and then you have Houston, who you could potentially meet up with in the playoffs in our, what would be the ALDS for us. They would have a best of three, and right now, if the season ended, they would play the Twins. So that series, so when you look at the American League wildcard series right now, it would be Twins and Astros playing a three-game series to see who can play the Guardians, and the Guardians would be sitting as the two seed, or it's Kansas City and Baltimore now sitting in the other spot, other wildcard spot, and the winner of that series would get the Yankees. If for some reason the Guardians can catch the Yankees, like I said, half game behind them for the top spot in the American League, then it flips, right? So then the Guardians would get the winner of Kansas City, Baltimore. You know, for as bad as the American League Central is, kind of odd to look at it and see that there's three teams from the AL Central sitting there knocking on the door of the postseason, one already in being the Guardians, and still Kansas City and Minnesota are, if the season ended today, they would be in. So maybe the Central isn't as bad as you think it was, or maybe the Central isn't as bad as the White Sox make it look.
Well, I think if you are saying that the AL Central is a bad division, then it might be your way. I'm not going to say that you're not watching.
Leaning on history?
I think you're leaning on history. I think that's a very good way to put it. Because for everybody who could scream and yell and absolutely lose their mind over the AL Central, like, for every White Sox where, yes, they are the doldrum of all doldrums right now and might beat the Mets record, you have an Athletics team that, yes, has Brett Rooker and is rolling in that regard, but, like, they're a mess. That Athletics team is a mess. You can look at the AL East side of it. The Red Sox aren't a mess per se, but they're not great. The Blue Jays continue to be a disappointment. Like, the AL Central has turned into a really good division, and not to mention with now the fact that we've spread this schedule out, so you're no longer playing the Royals 17 times a year,
yeah,
or
like
the
that.
White Sox 17 times a year.
That's
you
true.
Can't really make that argument the way that you used to, where you would just go, oh, you're just beating up on that crummy White Sox team, or you're just beating up on that crummy A's team. It's like, no, you can't say that anymore. Like, these schedules are tough now. They're all relatively similar. Like, yes, your thumb is still down on the Central, but you're starting to see it, that the quality that was there, I mean, that Royal team is pretty darn good. You've seen them enough times to know that. That Tiger team is frisky. Like, that's the word I would use to describe them. Like, they're frisky. They're another team that's the sum of their parts, and Tarek Skrubel being awesome.
Well, they are kind of big kitties, right?
So exactly. Yeah. It all checks out.
So what do you have? 3, 5, 8 games left, right? 8 games left, and you really, really, really want that bye. I mean, you need to be the 2 seed and not the 3 seed going into this, because it sets up so perfectly. If you hang on to the 2 seed, you win that, because when the playoffs start, and just looking at the Major League Baseball playoffs, they don't play till October 5, October 7, and then back on October 9. Those are the teams that, that's how the American League sets up. So, I mean, yes, if you ended up as the three seed and then you end up playing in the wild card, and that we don't want to be there.
All right. Talk me out of my thinking. You got to talk me out of this, okay?
All right, no problem.
I kind of don't want the bye.
Oh, you're so wrong. So wrong.
So here's my...
There's only one reason I don't want the bye.
So here's my fear with this. And this is why I want you to talk me out of it.
All right, hang on. I'm going to write down a word.
It's very on me. Okay. I don't feel like myself right now. I feel like somebody else and I don't like it. I kind of don't want the bye. And the only reason I say that is because the last few years and the last few World Series champions are teams that did not have the bye, are the teams that came in hot and started playing really well. So like Texas was the 5 seed last year, made their way to the World Series, rolled over the Baltimore Orioles, who were the team that had the bye. They were the 1 seed. Arizona, the 6 seed last year, rolled over the Dodgers, the team that had the bye. Philadelphia was the 4 seed last year. They took out the number 1 seed, Atlanta Braves, a division rival. The Braves lost. The only team that won their series was the Houston Astros, who had the bye. And I know that's just 1 year. If we go back another year, I'm pretty sure it looks relatively close to that. It kind of feels like, Andy, I don't know if I want the bye. Because the year before that,
Houston was the one seed. Stop,
they won.
Stop.
The Yankees were the 2 seed. They won. But on the NL side, the Dodgers lost and the Braves lost. Two teams that had the bye.
I'm going to agree with you on one aspect, and then I'm going to tell you that we want that bye.
Okay,
we want
the
bye.
I want to be talked out of this thought.
Do you want me to tell? Like, I want Kyle Manzardo playing twice a day right now. He is so hot, so on fire. I want him playing all the time. So I don't really want him to have a break because I want him still batting every day, which you can just go do in practice. I know it's not exactly the same, but so I can live with that. Look, you got to remember what we've got here. Bullpens need to rest, right? And so that's just a natural occurrence of a bullpen. And so if you feel like you can walk out into a 7-game series with your bullpen rested every night going into that, I think your odds of taking it out in 4 or 5 are way stronger. If you're a bullpen heavy team like the Guardians are, you want that. You need that. You want that on that wall. The other thing is, let's not forget, you know, you've got your McLemore starting lineup there, right? Thrift shop. You got guys that have been around the league and might need a little bit of, you know, time off. And so the more mature the pitcher is, I think the more rest you can give these guys, I'm down with it. So let's just
2021, teams with the bye went 1-3.
Stop looking at it. Like, if I told you that you got Cobb a little bit more rest so he could be in the rotation, it's worth it. You know, Boyd, same thing. Lively. I mean, come on, man. We went popping tags to go out and get starters on this team, and we hit it. We didn't pay $50 for a T-shirt. We got great starting pitching here towards the end, right? How can you not say that? You're the 2 seed, right? Finish strong, and you're good to go. So give me the thrift shop starting rotation, the way they've been able to do it this year, to put this thing together, go get them out there, get them to the bullpen, and get going. But I think that rest is important. They want to be the 2 seed. Forget about your analytics about sitting. Forget it.
I don't know if I want the bye. I don't know if I want it. I mean, come on. The weird thing is that the analytical side of my brain would say, yes, you take the bye. You take the rest. You rest up the pen. You rest up the arms. You let everybody decompress a little bit. But what you've seen since they've expanded this playoff, and look, MLB playoffs have always been a crapshoot. They've just now become a bigger crapshoot. You've just added more die to it. You've basically gone from craps to Yahtzee. And so now it seems like the team that catches fire and then rides that wave is the team that ends up finding their way deeper into the playoffs than the team that's getting the time off. I mean, we've had this thing now, and
we've never had it like this before.
I'll
we've never
the
had
2020
the 3
season out.
You know, we've never done it with a bye. We've never done it with a 3. Wait, last year it was the 1-game playoff, right? Still, that was just last year, wasn't it?
Nope.
It was 2 years
started
ago?
In 2021.
Has it been that long already? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like it. Anyway. So you're sitting here. You want the bye. I'm telling you. It's baseball. Take it. Enjoy it. I know you're used to playing every day. Take it and enjoy it, especially with the team that we have right now. The only thing that concerns me about are some of the hot bats that this team has kind of picked up over the last
You know what? Never mind. I take that back. Started in 2022, not 21.
Okay, so I'm mildly insane.
So we're 2 years. We're 2 years into this.
All right, let's come back. Let's talk about Gardner. Are you pumped? I mean, are you pumped? This team, they've been out in front all season long, and when it looked like they might slip away, they didn't. They came back. What was the line that we were talking about on the way in that Brad Goldberg had about how this team? You said that.
Oh, it was a great line in Zach Meisel's piece where Brad Goldberg said that this bullpen has no pulse, that this has one singular heartbeat. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It's just one singular heartbeat.
Who needs an AED when you're in the Guardians bullpen? Let's come back. 216-474-0092. Talking Guardians coming up at 11. Tiki Barber, Brian Anderson, High Noon, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. What, St. Louis? And then they're home for the end of it. From the 24th to the 29th, they'll take on Cincinnati at home for two. And then Houston for three. And that could be a potential, you know, matchup in the playoffs, too. So it'll be, it's going to be interesting. The other thing we didn't talk about, too, was how hot the Tigers are right now. Because, you know, I was talking about how the AL Central looks. And, you know, you're talking about the Twins or the Tigers in that last six seed. And that could come down to the last day of the season.
8-2 in their last 10.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Cy Young Award winner right there.
So then you could be looking at
Cy Young Award winner.
You could be looking at Detroit, Houston. If Houston ends up as a three seed, or you could, I mean, you could be looking at Houston, and then if the Guardians had to play in the wild card, then they would probably, it would be them or Detroit or them. So you'd have an AL Central matchup to get to Houston. So let's see how that rolls. I you think it's going to be Minnesota? Did the Guardians break Minnesota's spirit?
I think injuries broke Minnesota.
Yeah,
the fact
I know,
that those guys came back so much later than a lot of people thought. But
yeah, the Guardians sent him to the glue factory.
Probably might have been the final one. Like that might have been the final nail in the coffin, sadly. But like I think injuries did them in more than anything else.
All right, I'm going to play some stuff.
They should, because that team was built to be, sadly, that team was built to be injured.
I want to play some stuff from yesterday right after the after they clinched. So we're going to play it. So I do want to take up a phone call. Zach is in Cleveland. Hi, Zach.
How are you, Zach?
Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys. The sound all went out for a second.
You know, it's like just like my kids, man. My kids don't hear me either. It's insane.
Hey, man. Great feeling yesterday, and it was awesome. Obviously, you know, most of us were working yesterday when that game ended.
Still 21,000 at the ballpark yesterday. Good crowd.
Yeah, but to be able to be, most of us to be in the car or listening at work to hear Hammy, like you touched on it too. Like,
right,
you know, crossing enemy lines. And it sucks.
Yeah,
it doesn't. You know what? I love Underwood and Manning. I love hearing those guys too. It kind of sucks not being able to hear you know, the calls from Hammy. But being able to hear yesterday was awesome.
Zach, let me share a story with you really quick. I mean, Hammy is not a quiet guy, right?
Oh,
and I got to tell you, it's amazing. Just because I was lucky enough to go on the road with that team for 6 years, and maybe even stand in the booth that was next to the radio booth for Hammy. And like when Hammy makes that call, man, it comes from his soul.
And I'm sure he's got to have like soundproof windows up there so he doesn't people's calls.
It's really interesting. What, like, I remember being in Minnesota and he called like a Travis Hafner home run that was unbelievable. And like you could hear it and like you felt the electricity of the ball. And like everybody in the Metrodome at the time, I think, heard him. And it was just like, I don't know. I just think it's so special, and we're so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's also that old Cinder Park Metrodome where all that sound echoed all over the place, which was perfect.
He's definitely one of the best. Like, we're blessed to have him. And you know, when it goes away, it's definitely going to be a huge void that somebody's going to have to fill. But what I wanted to call on, guys, is that this team has shown a lot of resilience this year in every position, right? I mean, there's been a ton of question marks all year long. You know, we're wondering who's going to play this position or who they're going to call up or can they call this guy up? And all year long, they've just fought through every piece of adversity. So I don't think it matters who we play. I don't think it matters when we play. I think we just got to show up and play until the game's over. And they've shown that the last two nights. We lead the league in comeback wins. 42, I'm pretty sure, is what I saw last night, if I'm not mistaken. We just have to play the entire game. Not give up. This team has not given up all year long, and that's why they are where they are right now. Excited to see where it goes, guys. I got goosebumps talking about it right now, boys.
You
Me
got
too.
It.
It's
playoff
gonna be
baseball
fun.
Is back, boys.
Thank
it's
you,
It's going to be fun. And he's right. This team doesn't quit. At no point do they roll over and quit, no matter how big the lead is. They're there. They're still going. They're still taking the extra base. They're still doing the little thing. They're still all of that stuff that has made this team successful, they continue to do.
Jerry, I'm assuming Cleveland Heights. Where are you, Jerry?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I told you. I think you make an excellent Heights. Kelsey's are, I hope, throwing out the first ball in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Anyway, they probably have football.
Well, one of them has football. The other one, who knows what.
Yeah. The Tigers are hot, the hottest team in baseball. I'd love to see them knock out the Astros because I think they'd run out of gas eventually and we'd be playing them. But you make an excellent point about getting the bye because of Cobb. You want Cobb to pitch in the playoffs. You want him to start. The guy's been there. He's a tremendous pitcher. I don't know what it is with the blisters and the fractured fingernails, but I would love to see him start. We have a mess with Gavin Williams and Cantillo is terrific, but he's a rookie.
I kind of like that about him. If you were listening to him in the clubhouse afterwards,
young and dumb benefits a lot of
we'll
people.
Play some
I'm not
of that.
Trying to. I'm not trying to say that as crass as that comes out, but like it's kind of nice to not know the pressure you're supposed to be under.
I'll take Cobb.
Me too.
Yeah, I will too. But I'm
an Alex Cobb homer.
I don't know how you can't like Cantillo right now. How could you not? I mean, the kid's on fire.
Can't tell his pitcher great.
Yeah.
He really is.
I was at the game yesterday, and, he's undaunted. I mean, it doesn't back down. And Eli Morgan yesterday, my goodness, he has the bases loaded, nobody out.
Oh,
and huge. He gets out of it.
Huge. That's what you need in the playoffs.
Anyway, it's been a great season. What do you think of Voit?
You mean Vogt?
Compared to Vogt.
He's been awesome.
Steve-O, number zero, whatever his number is. His, compared to Tito, Tito loved veterans. He wouldn't play rookies. He was stubborn about the veteran play, whether they were in slumps or not. Vogt has a different lineup every day, it seems. He plays everybody. And the way they've handled the pitching is incredible.
Yeah, it's been different. I think it's a team effort, too, especially – it has to be with a rookie manager. I mean, it's got to be coming. A lot of it's probably coming from upstairs too. Let's be honest. I mean, I think he should win rookie. He should win manager of the year. There's no question. He should get all the credit for it. But I'd love to just kind of spend a day trying to figure out, the pregame and what's going on before the game to see how those decisions are made throughout the game and how that goes down. But he has had an amazing year. Thank you, Jerry. And I can't see him not winning manager of the year. And by the way, you should hear what Austin Hedges said about him after the game yesterday. I know why we were going to play Cantillo there for a second, but now I want to play Austin Hedges. And, here's what he said about Vogt and being, his managerial skills this year.
Wow.
What did he do last year?
He won a World Series with a Rangers team managed by Bruce Bochy, who is I don't think Boch is in the Hall of Fame yet, but boy, when he finally retires, it's going to be like, yeah, bud, you're in.
I mean, that's pretty amazing to say about a rookie manager from a veteran player. I mean, that's some pretty solid, I got your back on that. In fact, he followed up with that about why he's been such a good manager. Yeah, I think that, when you look at it, when I think about Vogt, I think about the scales of justice. Right? And you know how you're trying to get him even when it's all like that? Because I do think that he's got the one side of the scale that's got to be a player's manager that's trying to be able to do all those things that Austin Hedges said. And then on the other side of the scale, you've got the numbers, the analytics, and the front office that are trying to kind of tip the scales one way or put them the other way. And that's why he's manager of the year. Because he's figured out a way, it's why he should be manager of the year, because he has figured out a way not only to get the message, interpret the information, but be able to deliver the information to the players too. And let's not sell the guys around him short. He has a fantastic staff around him. Fantastic. You're going to tell me Sandy Alomar shouldn't be a manager somewhere? Come on now. Right? You don't want to tell me Carl Willis is like, he's been around for a long time. He gets it. He understands it. He's the big train, man. He gets it. And especially, you know, against his old team yesterday, Twins.
They have always said that the modern manager is more of a psychiatrist than anything else.
And a media member. I mean, or a media spokesman.
Right. That he's the front-facing, you know, part of the organization. The guy talks twice a day. Like, it's a different animal than what it was when Earl Weaver was doing it. You know, it's a different animal than even Jim Leland. You know, and those great managers and all that stuff that we can all point to over time. Now it very much is the organization is crunching the numbers, putting a lineup together, all that stuff. I am sure Stephen Vogt can put his thumb on that every so often. It's shown with this team because he plays everybody. If you're on this team, you play. There's nobody sitting on the end of that bench just twiddling their thumbs, not seeing an at-bat for six games. Those guys don't exist on this team.
Well, I always think it's silly. If you're going to call somebody up from AAA, you need to play him.
Yeah.
Right? If you thought they were worthy enough of being big leaguers, especially when they first get here, and he does that, man.
Stephen
he gets them out on the field.
Stephen Vogt has done that from the beginning. He's done that from the very beginning of it's like, I need to keep everybody fresh. We're rotating this through. Everybody's getting days off. Everybody's playing if you're on the roster. Like, that's the, at least to me, it's a motto that makes sense, and it is a motto that has helped this team. Yeah, Jose Ramirez gets the majority of the at-bats. He should. He should always be out there. But everybody else, I'm in for the rotation.
We'll talk more Guardians throughout the show. You'll hear more reaction from yesterday, too, but we got a lot of other things to do today, including talking to Tiki Barber, former Giants running back. What do you think about this weekend's game against the Browns and the Giants? You're going to find out next right here. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan, 216-474-0092.